ליקוטי הלכס, יורדיה, חלק א', הלכס קורחו וקסויבס קקה, הלכה ג', פרגרף ו'. We dedicate today's learning for a complete רפואה שלמה for all those that need it, בסויך שער חולי ישראל. Rav Nosson Zalim, this paragraph of just summarizes what we were learning in the previous year. Nimtza she'ikar kol ha'avelus v'ha'hesped chas v'sholem hurak b'shvil hadrasponim v'sholem. Based on what we were learning in the previous year, we realized that the main goal of the eulogy and the mourning for a person who passed away is to elevate, to restore the hadrasponim and the sholem, which existed while the person was alive. As we spoke about this earlier, the shalom between the guf and the neshama, the body and soul being united. Kedei lachzor ulahamshich nefesh hameis begufoi, meaning we want to try to once again draw the soul of this person who passed away back into the body. Kedei lo'er hashalom beyoser, in order to achieve a higher level shalom than what existed during the lifetime of the person by the union of the body and the soul. Kanal, as we spoke about in the previous year. Alkein, his hira toiro, levli, lisroit, gufay alam es, chas v'shalom. And it's for this reason that the Torah warns us not to scratch our body over a dead person. Shaloi lekalkel ulahashchis hadras gufay, so as not to spoil and destroy the beauty of the body, b'chinas hadras ponim, which is the beauty of the face. We mentioned earlier that the face represents the whole body. You can recognize a person by their face, so the face is actually representative of the entire body. So by a person, chas v'shalom, scratching the body, that's also considered damaging the hadras ponim. Ki ikar kol ho'avelos v'hesped, hurak b'shvil hadras ponim v'shalom. Because Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes that the main focus in the Avelus and the Hesped is to restore this Hadras Ponim and Sholem. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Losom la'avele tzioin pe'er tacha sefer. That Hashem says those who mourn the Churban Beis Hamikdosh, those that mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim, Hashem will replace their efer, their ashes, with pe'er, with beauty. And again, the term pe'er is similar to this hadras ponim. Paragraph Zayin, v'zeh b'chinas isur korchal meis. And this is also related to the fact that we're not allowed to tear out our hair to express grief over a person who passed away. Hi b'shas v'avelus chas v'sholoim hu histalkus hamoichim. Because when we are mourning a person who passed away, that's the time when the moichin leave. Moichin means seichel, moichin means Hashem's light. As a result of the fact that we're in this state of mourning, we know the Gemara says that the Shekhinah will only associate with a person mitoich simcha shel mitzvah. So because the state of mourning is a lessening of the simcha, it's a time of histalkus hamoichin, the moichin leave. Vasarois he moisrei moichin. Now, the hair on the head is referred to as the moisrois of the moichin. They are sort of an extension of the moichin, an excess that comes out of the skull. Ubishas histalkus hamoichin miklehem nimshochen hamoichin beyoiser letoich hasarois. And therefore, at a certain point in time, the moichin leave. It means they're leaving their usual place. They're leaving their usual keli inside the skull, and they're going more into the hair. V'alkein, im chas v'shom yigalach esaroisov. So if at such a time a person will cut the hair, yucha lahashchis moichoi chas v'shom, the person could damage these moichin, which at a time like this, the moichin are more in the hair than they are inside of the head. V'alkein tzorich lahamtin ad sheyistalek v'yavor yimei evloi. And therefore the person has to wait until the days of Avelus are over, the 7 days, the 30 days, va'oz yachzuru hamoichin, and then the moichin return inside the head, v'yizdakhu, v'yoshuvu hamoichin l'mekoimum v'sholay, and then the moichin become purified and return to their proper place, v'lo yisharu basaris, They no longer remain in the hairs. Kim moisrei moichin, the only thing that remains in the hair is the moisrei moichin, the excesses of the moichin. Va'oz yigalchem, then it's okay to cut the hair. Ki oz tzorech legalchem, kidei shelo yisrabu ha-moisreis ba-moyach. Because then a person is supposed to take a haircut in order that the moisreis shouldn't take over the brain. The moisreis means excesses. Moisreis usually is associated with klipois and tumah that's found in the hair. And therefore it's important not to have excess hair other than by the beard, by the peis. But other than that, other places on the head, a person has to keep the hair limited. Paragraph Ches, this is something, a question that somebody raised earlier in one of the previous shiurim. What about a nazir? V'zeh b'chinas isur giluach shel nazir. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand why a nazir is not allowed to cut his hair. Ki nazir eloikov al roishoy. Because he has a certain crown, a certain holiness of Hashem on his head. Ki machmas kedushas nizroi. Because of the holiness of his nazirus, this being a nazir is an act of a person wanting to sanctify himself. Gam hamoisrei moichen shebesarois, hem gam ken kedoshim oid. As a result of a nazir taking a vow of nazirus on himself, even the moisrois of the moichen, which are found in the hair, they also become holy. V'osur legalchom achiyav riyamein Israel. And therefore it's forbidden for the person to cut the hair, which is moisrei moichin, until the days of Nazirus are completed. V'oz tzorech legalchom pesach oyel moed. And then when the Nazirus period is over, the Nazir is supposed to cut his hair at the entranceway to the oyel moed. U'lahashlichom tachas hadud shenevashlom boi korban oisav. And we take that hair that's been cut and throw it under the fire, in the fire that's being used to cook the korbanos that the nazir brings. Ki sa'aroisov kedoshim. Because when a person is a nazir, his hair is holy. Ki migoidel kedushosoi gam hamoisrei moichen hem kedoshim. Because as a result of the nazir taking this vow of nazirus upon himself to make himself extra holy, what happens is, even the moisrois of the moichen, even the hair is holy, and therefore it's not allowed to be cut until the period of nazirus is over, and we have to take that hair and use it for a very holy purpose. Any questions?
Morning, Rav Nosson. Going back to the previous paragraph regarding the movement of the moichen, for the mourner, most of his moichen move into his hair, so that Rav Nosson just clarified this dynamic of moving in and then moving out, and then went to cut the hair again.
Yes. It's the way Rav Nosson Zal explained it. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain every time in the morning when a person wakes up, we receive a new flow of moichin. And the Sifrei Kabbalah explain exactly how that happens, what we have to do to make it happen, how it happens at during points during our tefillah. And if the person was up for chatzos, then it's even better. The Arizal has the whole, knows the writings of the Arizal, the Pri Etz Chaim, the Shara Kavonis. There it explains this whole process of the moichin coming into a person and when the moichin leave. For example, when a person goes to sleep at night, that's the time of his stalkus ha-moichin. And there are different levels of receiving moichin, different levels of the moichin leaving. One of the times when a person experiences a histalkus ha-moichin is when the person is in a state of mourning. When somebody close to them, one of the seven close relatives passed away, then the whole family is in a state of avelus. And avelus implies histalkus ha-moichin. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, where are these moichin nistalik into? And he explains they're nistalik into the hair. And that's why this is especially a time when you're not allowed to cut the hair, because the hair has these moichin in it. You're going to cut the hair, you're cutting the moichin. You could be damaging the moyach, the brain of the person. Therefore, we have to wait till this period of avelus is over, has ended, and then the moichin start coming back. They leave the saros, and they go back inside the head, and now the saros are only moisrei moichin, which can and should be cut at the right time.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure. Paragraph test. וזה בחינס שלוש מאות הלכות שנשתכחו בימי אבלוי של מוישה. The Torah tells us that when the Jews were mourning over the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were 300 halachos that were forgotten. And Othniel ben Kenaz was able to retrieve, to remind Klal Yisrael of these 300 halachos, to bring it back. Rav Nosson Zal explains again, Ki ho avelus, hi histalkus hamoichin. Because as the Sifrei Kabbalah explain, avelus means the moichin leave to a degree. אבל אחר כך חוזרים ונמשכים המוחים. But afterwards they come back. שהם בחינס האורס פונים, הדרס פונים. And restoring the מוחים. When the מוחים come into a person, then that person's face is shining. Remember, חוכמס אדם תאיר פונוב. הדרס פונים, that's הדרס פונים. שהם דרושי וביורי התורה. Which another word for this hadras ponim, Rabbi Nizal had said in chapter 27 in Likut Imran, which this halacha is based on, Rabbi Nizal said, how does a person get this hadras ponim? Through drushe ubiure ha-Torah, by studying and expounding the Torah. So again, these moichin left when the mourning started, and they come back afterwards. How do they come back? Al yidei ho-avelus va-hesped bi-atzmoi. As a result of us fulfilling the mitzvahs of the Torah, going through the 7-day mourning period and the 30 days, and the eulogizing of the person who passed away. Bibichinas, as the Pasuk says, Hine l'sholoim mar li mar. That in order to achieve the sholoim, in order to restore the sholoim, we had learned earlier, when a person is living, they are an example of sholoim, because the body and the soul are two major opposites. And when the body and the soul are united while a person is alive, that's a state of shalom. Then Rav Nosson Zal said, when a person passes away, the soul leaves. So that's a breaking of the shalom. But then Rav Nosson Zal explained there are things that we could do to bring the light of the soul back into the body, such as by fulfilling the mitzvahs of Avelus and Hesped. By doing that, we bring back the soul to a degree. In a certain way, we shine the light of the soul back into the body to achieve a higher level of shalom than was during the lifetime of the person. We had quoted the pasuk Yonuchu b'shalom al mishkavoi in the beginning of the halacha. So Rav Nosson Zal says now, b'bechinas hine l'shalom mar li mar, that by going through this merirus, this bitterness of the avelus, the shiva and the shloshim and the eulogy, where zocha to this shalom, v'alkein achar evloi shel Moshe, and therefore after the mourning period was over for Moshe Rabbeinu, chozar Othniel v'hechziron bepulpuloi. Othniel delved into the Torah with pilpul. He really, really delved into the Torah deeply, and he was able to restore those 300 halachas that were forgotten. כי אחר כך חוזרו ונמשכו האורס המויכים שנמשכו ממוישה רבנו על הראשון. Because after the mourning period was observed, afterwards, those מויכים that were drawn from Moshe Rabbeinu returned. שהוא בחינס הדרס פונים, the sholem. That's this הדרס פונים and the sholem. How? Al yidei ho avelus bi'atzmoi shehisablu alav. As a result of the Jewish people observing the avelus over Moshe Rabbeinu. Bibichinas hine l'sholem mar. That how do you restore the sholem? Through the mar, through the bitterness. Shehasholem hu bichinas hadras ponim. And this sholem is also an example of this light of the face. Bichinas halochos. Shehem biurei v'chidushei Torah. The halachos are explanations and revelations of Torah shemislabshin b'merirus, which cloak themselves in this mar, in this bitterness. So again, by observing that period of bitterness, the avelus and the hesped, but this enables us, upon completion of that, to be able to restore the shalom, the hadras ponim, the biurei haTorah. Paragraph Yud, V'alkein nen shu hazakenim al shaloi hispidu es Yehoshua. And this is also why the Gemara tells us that the elders of the generation of Yehoshua were punished over the fact that they did not eulogize Yehoshua properly. K'moshom Rabbi Sinasal, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 105, the Pasuk says, Yomim he'erichu, that the Zakenim at that time, they lived long days. But the Gemara says, Shonim loy he'erichu, they did not live long years. K'alidei ha'hespet shel ha'tzadik, zoichen la'hamshich sholim. Alidei ha'marira says it. Because as we just learned, when we're zoichet to perform the proper eulogy for a tzaddik, through this we're zoichet to draw shalom, through that merirus, by expressing how bitter, how pained we are at the loss of this tzaddik. V'ikar ha-chayim hu ha-shalom kanal. And we learned earlier that life is an example of shalom between the soul and the body. V'alkein alideishin is satzlu behespedoi. And therefore, because the zakenim of the generation didn't fulfill properly eulogizing Yehoshua, pagmu b'shalom v'chayim. They were pagan, they messed up the shalom and the life. V'alkein loy he'erichu shonim. And as a result of that, they did not live long life. V'zeh b'chinas horo'ov shohoyo b'yimei David el shol v'el beis hadomim. And this also explains the story that appears in Shmuel Beis, chapter 21, where the Torah tells us there was a major famine during the time of Dovid HaMelech, and this famine was because of Shaul HaMelech and the House of Blood. And the Gemara in Yevamos, page 78, asks, what is this all about? And the Gemara explains, the Gemara says, first, Dovid HaMelech thought maybe it's because of Avodah Zarah, because it says by Avodah Zarah that if you'll worship idols, Va'otzar Hashemayim v'lo yemotor, Hashem will withhold the rain, there'll be famine. And they investigated and they saw, no, the Jews are not worshipping idols. Then he thought maybe it's because of Pigam HaBris, Arayos. And the Gemara says they investigated and they saw, no, the Jews are okay in that area. Then he thought maybe it's because they made pledges for charity which they didn't fulfill. And the Torah tells us there also the result will be famine, lack of parnosa. And they saw also that that wasn't the case. So the Gemara says that Dovid HaMelech said, and I guess it's related to me, to the Malchus. And he went and made an inquiry in the Urim V'Tumim, and it was revealed to him that the reason for this famine was because of Shaul HaMelech and Beis Hadomim, which means two problems. Number one, Shelo Yehispiduhu Koroi, that they did not properly eulogize Shaul HaMelech, and number two, Val Asher Hemis Hagivoinim, and also because of the fact that Shaul HaMelech brought about the death of the Givoinim. K'moshom Rabbi Senezal, as the Gemara says over there in Yevamos, Ba'asher Mishpotoi Shom Po'alu, that even though this doesn't seem so logical, that in the same breath we're saying that they didn't show the proper respect to Shaul HaMelech, they didn't give him a proper eulogy, and then we're mentioning the death of the Givoinim. And the Gemara explains over there, because these Givoinim, Yehoshua, had made them into water carriers and wood choppers. And they actually served the Kohanim at that time who lived in the city of Noiv. Noiv Ira Kohanim. Remember, this is before there was a Beis HaMikdash. There was a Mishkan. There was a Mishkan in Shiloh. And from Shiloh, it moved to Noiv. Noiv, the city of Kohanim. And when Shaul HaMelech was chasing after Dovid HaMelech to kill him, because he understood that Dovid HaMelech is going to take over his kingdom, Doyeg HaDoimi told Shaul HaMelech that the Kohanim in Noiv were supportive of Dovid HaMelech. They were supporting the rebellion of Dovid HaMelech against Shaul HaMelech. So Shaul HaMelech gave instructions to kill all the Kohanim in the city of Noiv. And sure enough, the Doyeg HaDoimi went ahead and they murdered the Kohanim there. And these Kohanim were the source of Parnasa for these Givoinim. So by taking away their source of Parnasa, it was considered as if he killed them. So again, this is a crime that Shaul HaMelech was guilty of. And number two, that they didn't eulogize him properly. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, you're telling me he did a crime? So the Gemara says, Ba'asher mishpotoi shom palo, that the Torah sometimes places a judgment, it places both things together. Number one, that the Jews were being judged for not eulogizing Shaul HaMelech properly, and Shaul HaMelech was judged over the fact that he acted improperly regarding the Gevoinim. But now Rav Nosson Zalman says, based on what we're learning here, we see the connection between both things. Ki zeh tolui bozeh. These two items are connected to each other. Ki shaul heimis es ha-givoinim. Shaul HaMelech brought about the death of the Givoinim. Zeh bechinas shelo yochoy rides atzmoy lamadregois ha-tachtoinois lohorim es kol ha-noiflim v'orechoykem eshen isborach. What this really is saying is that Shaul HaMelech was not willing to lower himself, to go down to the lowest levels. These Gerim, the Givoinim, were Gerim who had come up with false pretenses originally. They lied about where they came from, a whole story when they came to Yeshua, and then it was discovered. And therefore, they were made the lowest, they were given the lowest position in Klal Yisrael, the woodcutters and the water carriers. So they represent the people who are on a very low level. By Shaul HaMelech cutting off their source of livelihood, it shows that Shaul HaMelech wasn't willing to go down to them and lift them up, elevate those people who have fallen, who are distant from Hashem. Lahagbia kulam elav yisborach. To lift all of them up and bring them close to Hashem. Ki Shaul Hoyo Bechir Hashem. Because the Gemara says in Brachas, Shaul HaMelech was the chosen one of Hashem to be the first king of Klal Yisrael. Uben Shono B'molchoi. Ki Ben Shono B'loichet. And the Gemara tells us Shaul HaMelech was a tremendous tzaddik, that throughout his reign, he was like a one-year-old baby without any sin. And the Gemara asks, if that's the case, why is it that his kingdom did not survive? That his kingdom was cut off? Him and his son Yonasan were killed the same day, and the kingdom was taken out of their family and transferred to the family of David HaMelech. And the Gemara says in Yuma, page 22, because Shaul HaMelech did not have any black stains, any negative marks in his background. And in order for a person to be a Manig Yisrael, he has to have some baggage. He has to have some skeletons in his closet, that's the expressions that we use, so that if he ever is feeling arrogant, we can remind him, hey, you're not 100% perfect yourself. And Shaul HaMelech had no doifi, which means in a certain sense, he was perfect, perfect. And that's part of what made it difficult for him to lower himself, to go down to the lowest levels, and to lift all of them up to Hashem, even those who are furthest away, and carry them, and elevate them, like a woman who helps another woman in birth as she carries a baby, this small baby. And as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, "V'nosati lohem roye kelibi," Hashem says, "I will give the Jewish people a shepherd like my heart." Es ho'oivedes yivakesh. He will seek the lost souls. He'll seek those who are far away, seek to bring them close. V'alkei nitna hamalucha leDavid. And that's why the kingdom was taken away from Shaul HaMelech and given to David HaMelech. Shavya oisek bozeh beyoiser. David HaMelech was especially involved in this type of work. Lekarev hakoil Hashem Yisborah. To bring everybody close to Hashem. As the Gemara says, in speaking about Dovid HaMelech, the incident he had with Bathsheba, the Gemara says, Loi hoya Dovid roi loi samaisa. Dovid HaMelech was not a candidate for any kind of sin at all, especially any kind of pigama bris. Elokedei lohoi rois tshuva. Dovid HaMelech was only picked for this and only experienced this in order to serve as an example that anyone could do tshuva, even a yochid, even a person who was a king, and when he does something wrong, it's terrible, even he can do tshuva. Ukamai shekosuv, and as the pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 72, Yochois aldal ve'evyoin, ve'nafshoi sevyoinim yoshia. He has pity on all the poor, the poorest of the poor people, and the souls of the poor people he saves, he helps them. Shehamelech Yisroel sorich lochus ularachim ulohoshia ho'aniyim ve'evyoinim ho'rachoikim enakdusha be'yoser. A Jewish king has to have pity on the poor people, those who are furthest away from Kiddusha. Shezeh ikar ho'anius ve'avyonis. That's the real poverty when we talk about poor people. Ki ein oni elam en adas. Because the Gemara says, real poverty is poverty in Sechel. Umachma sheshol pogam bozeh. And because Shaul HaMelech was poigim in this, in not treating these lowly people properly, v'zeh b'chinas asher heimis es ha-givoinim, where the Torah refers to it as if he murdered the Givoinim. Shezeh b'chinas horechoikim min ha-kedusha ma'oid. The Givoinim represent and are symbolic of those people who are furthest away from the Kedusha. Shehem b'chinas mechoitev eitzecho ad shoyev meimecho. From the woodcutters and the water carriers, Shemoshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom kerev kulam. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekarev all of them. V'kosha kulam l'Hashem Yisborach, and he brought all of them close to Hashem. K'moshe Kosuv, as it says in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. You are standing here, all of you today, before Hashem. And it lists 10 categories of people. Roshechem, Shifteichem, Ziknechem, Koilish Yisrael, Tapchem, Neshechem, Vegercha Shebesharecha, Mechoyte Yisrael. 10 categories. The last two, number 9 and 10, are Choyte Veitzecho Ad Shoyev Mimecho. V'shol, Sheloi Hishtade L'Karev L'Horm Eloi Madregois, whereas Shaul HaMelech, who was not involved in being Mekarev and elevating these low levels, Al Kenemar, Allah, therefore the Torah says about him, Al Asher Hemis is HaGivoinim, that he murdered the Givoinim. V'ideze Nenash, and because of this he was punished, Shelo Nisbat Kahalocha, that he wasn't eulogized properly, meaning, Shelo Himshichu He'erosoi Lamato Kol Kach Koroiloi, they didn't draw the light of his nefesh, the light of his neshama, down properly, because during his lifetime he wasn't fulfilling this item properly of reaching out to those people who are far away from Hashem. Ubasher mishpatoi sham po'oloi, and as a result of what he was being judged for, the mistake that he made in a sense with the Givoinim, that resulted in the mistake of the Jewish people not eulogizing him properly. Kiafal pikein nenshual zeh. Because even though Shaul HaMelech had done something improper, still the people were punished for not eulogizing him properly. As the pasuk says, Vayihi ro boretz, there was a famine in the world, Shehu hepech hasholom, which is the opposite of peace. Kimoisham Rabbeinu Zal Mokom Achar, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 39 in Likutei Moran, based on the pasuk, Kimoisham Kosov, Hasom givuleich sholom, Chelev chitim yasbiach. Hashem, who places peace within your boundary, will feed you and satiate you from the fat of the wheat. So we see when there's shalom, there's a tremendous flow of food. Famine implies lack of shalom. Kalidei ha-hespid shel ha-tzadik mamshichim nishmosei lamato. Because by eulogizing a tzadik properly, we draw the light of his neshama back down. Shezeo b'chinas sholom, reuniting the neshama and the body. And that's this peace. Shaydezeh mamshichim kol ho'ilam lavedos nisborach. And Rabbeinu Zal said in the beginning of chapter 27, in Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on, that by generating sholom in the world, that enables us to bring everybody close to Hashem. Because when there's peace, people can talk to each other. People are able to talk to each other. People are willing to listen to what the other person has to say. And we can convey closeness to Hashem. We can talk to each other about how to come close to Hashem. Questions?
Rav Nachman, Don't we see in the story with Moshe Rabbeinu that he wanted to bring in the Eruv Rav, and then that was criticized for bringing them in too quickly? So, like, even the tzaddikim, it seems, have this challenge of, like, not knowing when yes, when no. And if so, how can they be held responsible if it's not clear?
The answer is that it is very delicate. This issue is very delicate. On one hand, it's the most important thing in Yiddishkeit to bring people close to Hashem. And if a person doesn't do it, Hashem holds it against them. And at the same time, like everything else, there's a certain middle of the road that Rav Nosson Zal explains in one of the places, quoting the Sifrei Kabbalah, that the Erev Rav were supposed to come close to Hashem, but it wasn't the right time yet. And this is one of the difficult tests that everyone has, including tzaddikim, timing, trying to grab something before the right time. It's a very, very delicate, delicate issue, this issue. And we see even by Moshe Rabbeinu, this was an issue, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so much to give Hashem kavod, and he knew that the greatest kavod would come from these people who were furthest away, the Erev Rav, but still, it wasn't the right time. It was too early. It wasn't the right time. We have the story with Micha, where Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Egyptians put a Jewish child into the wall to cement him into the wall. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees this, and he's crazy. And he's going nuts, and he waits till the Egyptian leaves, and he's about to run over to the wall to grab this child out, and he hears a baska that says, don't, don't. And Moshe Rabbeinu can't help himself. He can't stand by watching a Jewish child put to death like that. He grabs the child and saves him, and eventually in the future, that child played a major role in causing the Egel HaZohav. So we see that it is delicate. We know that Hashem's judgment is pure and good, and Hashem is loving and kind and wonderful. If to us it seems at certain times, like, why would Hashem punish him if this is... The answer is, Hashem knows what lahagid ki yoshar Hashem suri v'la, Hashem is yashar, no avel. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. And Hashem's punishment is with tremendous, tremendous kindness. No question about it. But this is definitely one of the most delicate issues in Yiddishkeit, being Makariv people and knowing who yes, who not, and when and how quickly. We had yesterday was Shabbos. Yesterday we read Parshas Vayishlach, and there Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, Esav says, come with me. No, I don't want to come with you. Let me send one of my guys with you. No, I don't want one of your guys. And Yaakov Avinu says, because I'm going to be traveling slowly, because I have all of these ladies and kids. And Rav Nosson Zal points out over there that these words are written in the Torah as a tremendous message for us. That even though a major character trait in Yiddishkeit is Zrizus, person is supposed to run to shul, run to serve Hashem. A person also has to know that there's a time for hamtein, the ability to wait till it's the right time. And if a person doesn't wait till it's the right time, chas v'shalom, there's terrible things that come out of it.
Also, another question regarding Shaul HaMelech. How do we understand that he was a tzaddik and he tried to murder David HaMelech? How do we understand that?
The answer is we don't. We don't understand completely. Obviously, there's levels and levels of depth in this, in Sifrei Kabbalah and other things, in terms of what was going on over here. Because the Torah does make it perfectly clear that Shaul HaMelech is tzaddik. So it's not like it appears to us on a simple level that there's jealousy here, It's not that simple. Here there was, Shaul HaMelech obviously understood that there was tremendous importance to his being king and his son Yonasan being king. And Shaul HaMelech, there were certain things that drove him to this melancholy, to this state of loss of simcha, and that drove him to do these things. He had bad advice from Doeg HaDoimi, and all kinds, there were a lot of factors involved. On one hand, the Torah makes it perfectly clear he's a tzaddik. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Zal said that I disagree with the world in certain things. There are people that say a tzaddik cannot make a mistake, and if the tzaddik makes a mistake, he's no longer a tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal said, I disagree with both. A tzaddik can make a mistake, and after he makes a mistake, the tzaddik is a tzaddik and the mistake is a mistake. doesn't forfeit that title tzaddik necessarily.
So when does a person, chas v'shalom, fall into the category of Russia? Is it kavanas like we were talking about earlier?
Exactly. The case of Korach, for example, there it's something completely different. There the Torah points out it was gaiva, it was arrogance, it was a clear disrespect to Moshe Rabbeinu, a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen that came as a result of jealousy and all kinds of jealousy and gaiva. That's the case where he's termed a Rasha. And even there, we're told that in the end, he will have a tikkun, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to affect the tikkun for him. A question in the chat, there's an explanation that Shaul HaMelech lost his kingdom because he had spared Agag, the king of Amalek. How can it be that a second explanation is that he lost the kingdom because he was too perfect? We didn't say that this was the reason why he lost his kingdom. We said that this is why he wasn't eulogized properly. This is why he didn't have the proper respect shown to him when he passed away of receiving a proper eulogy. That's what it is. The kingdom was taken away from him because he didn't wipe out all of Amalek like he had been commanded to. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to give us an incredible, clear, beautiful insight regarding the holiday of Purim and how it's related to this chapter in the Likutei Moran, chapter 27, that this halacha is based on. Paragraph Yud Aleph, V'zeh Bechinas Purim. Everything we're learning about over here is also related to the holiday of Purim. Ki Iker Hu HaShalom. Because one of the most important things in life and in Yiddishkeit is shalom. Ki bevadai bechol dor nimtzoim tzadikim amitim uksherim amitim. Because it's 100% definite that in every single generation there are true tzadikim. There are really religious people. Ki ein dor yosim. Because there's no such thing as a generation that's completely orphaned. V'chol tzadik v'tzadik b'doiroi b'vadai yesh loy koyach l'hachzir kol hoylam kudoy l'mutov. And each and every single true tzadik in his generation definitely has the ability to get everyone to do tshuva. V'ikr ha'meniya hu rak machmas goydel ha'machloikis sheyesh b'chol dor v'dor al ha'tzadik ha'meshu v'dor. And the main obstacle to this is the machloikis, the opposition that exists in every single generation against the true tzaddik of the generation, the leading tzaddik of the generation. K'mo shematzino b'chol hadoyrois me'olam. As we find this to be the case throughout all the generations, going way back, she'tomid hoyo machloikis godol al hatzaddik ho'emesh shebedor. There was always major opposition against the true tzaddik of the generation. V'ikra machlokes b'yoser hu al hatzaddik ho emes she'oisek l'karav b'nei adam l'Hashem yisborach. And the main opposition is usually against the true tzaddik who's involved in bringing people close to Hashem, those who are far from Hashem. Olav mizgaber hamachlokes yoser v'yoser. Against that tzaddik, the Satan wages major war. There's major, major opposition that he experiences. K'moshom Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 228 in Likutei Moran, al pasuk vayeshev Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu sat down. He wanted a rest. He wanted to take it easy. Be'eretz megurei aviv, and then starts the whole problem with Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers. So the Gemara says, Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva, Yaakov Avinu wanted to take a rest. He had finished with Lavan, he had finished with Esav, he went through so much difficulty, he wanted to retire, he wanted to relax a little. Now starts the whole Parsha with Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers. This happens to be this week's Parsha now. Yesterday, Shabbos at Mincha, and we're going to be reading tomorrow, Monday and Thursday in Shabbos. And as we find was also the case in all previous generations, even before Yaakov Avinu. Ki Avram Avinu Olav HaSholom Hoyo Oisek Legayer Geirim. Avram Avinu was involved in outreach, in bringing converts close to Hashem. V'hoyo Olav Machloikes Otsum Kol Yomov. And Avram Avinu had major opposition throughout his entire life. When Nimrod threw him into a fiery furnace, וכשבול ארץ ישראל ויש שם רוב, and when Avram Avinu arrived in Eretz Yisrael and there was a famine, Amru, the people said, שהרוב בשבילוי, that the famine is because of this guy. כמובא במדרש, as the Medrash says, שאמרו על אברהם בשביל המין הזה שבו אלינו נעשה רוב. It's because of this apikoros, this atheist, this guy who doesn't believe in idols, because of him this famine has come. וכן יצחק, חיילוי גם כן, מחלויקס מן הפלישתים. And Yitzchak Avinu had all the opposition from the Pelishtim. ובפרט יעקב אבינו, and especially יעקב אבינו, שרדפו עשוי לבן ועשו, והיו עליו סינויס ומחלויקס כל יומיו. He was persecuted by לבן and עשו, and he had hate and opposition throughout his whole life. וכן דובר המלך עליו השלום, שרבו עליו המחלויקס מויד מויד כל ימי חייו, and so too דובר המלך, who had major opposition against him throughout his life. משול המלך, עולב השולם, from שול המלך, ודויג, ואחי טויפל, ושבע בן בכרי, וכל האומות חלקו עליו, and all the nations were against דובר המלך, all the other nations, והיו לו מלחמות רבות כל יומיו, he was constantly fighting battles throughout his whole life. וכיוצא בזה בכל דור ודור. And this is actually what happens in Klal Yisrael in each and every generation. וכן על משה רבנו עליו השלום היו מחלויקס גדול. And even against משה רבנו there was major מחלויקס, opposition, כמו שכוסו, as the Pasuk says, והביטו אחרי משה. That when משה רבנו would leave the people, they would look after him, they would watch closely. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Malamed shechashaduhu be'eshes ish, that they were suspicious of Moshe Rabbeinu, that chas v'shalom, he was committing sins with married women. V'chol echad kinei li'ishto mi'moshe, and each person was jealous towards his own wife from Moshe Rabbeinu, suspecting that maybe, because Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Torah to the whole Klal Yisrael, all suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of false play with their wives. וכן מחלויקס קורח ודוסם ואווירם, וכן על ישעיה, ירמיה ושאר הנביאים ועל שאר צדיקים, היו תמיד מחלויקס גדול בכל דור ודור. And so to regarding all of these צדיקים, they always had this major opposition in every generation. וזה עיקר המניע, מה שאין הצדיק בדוירוי מחסיר כל הולם למותיו. And this is the main obstacle that does not allow a tzaddik in his generation to be able to bring all the people to tshuva. Ki im hayu lahem shalom imoy, because if all the Jews were at peace with the tzaddik, v'hayu yoidim u'maminim shu tzaddik amiti, and they would realize and believe that he is a true tzaddik, v'doyresh toivosam v'ahavosam v'atzlachosam anitzchis, and he really wants their eternal good, their eternal success, b'vadai hayu miskarven elo v'shonin dvor v'amitim, then everyone would definitely come close to the tzaddik and listen to his true words. V'hayu medaber alibam, and the tzaddik would speak to their hearts, u'mazber lohem ho'emes, and explain to them the truth about Hashem, about the Torah. V'hayonoysen lohem eitzlois toivoyisech leskarav lashem yisborah. And the tzaddik would give each and every single person good advice as to how to come close to Hashem. U'bevadai hayu kol hoylam kuloy shofem alemes lashem yisborah hayodai. And as a result of this, the entire world would definitely do tshuva, come back to Hashem. Ach machmas hamachloikis, einam shonim dvorav klal. However, unfortunately, because of the machlokis in every single generation, the people don't hear and don't listen to the words of the tzaddikim. Vafilu kisheshonim mimenu ezedavar hogan v'nifla, and even when they do hear something incredible from the tzaddik, einoy nichnas belibam klal. It doesn't really enter into their hearts at all. Vein choisrim lesosroi v'tchoisim libam, and they work to try to destroy the words of the tzaddik and to reject it, not to allow it to go into their hearts. Nimtza sheikar ha'hisrachkus ma'she'en hodo miskarvan l'ashem yisborach hu machmas heder ha'shalom. So we see here that one of the main things that's causing people to be distant from Hashem and not to be able to come close to Hashem is this lack of sholem? Rav Nosson Zal continues, paragraph Yud Beis, ki ho ikar avodas Hashem hu bechinas sholem, because one of the main things in serving Hashem is sholem. Ubishvil ze hoyo ikar brias adam, and this is the main reason why Hashem created man, ki ho adam kolul michoimer vetzura, because man is a combination of matter and form. Now, again, the body and the soul. Guf min hatachtoinim, the body comes from the lowest places, from earth. Uneshama min hu'elyoinim, and the soul coming from the highest places. Vehem shnei hafochim, they're two opposites. Ukishehoi lechas v'shon achar shriyus liboi, and when a person follows their heart's desires, azai hu heder hasholem, then there's the opposite of peace. There is no peace inside of me because of my sins. Whereas when a person takes control of their body and they make the body be negate itself to the neshama, be subservient to the neshama, that's this peace. This is a proper peace between the soul and the body. Validei avodasoi hu mekasher kol ha'olamos yachad l'Hashem yisborach. And by a human being serving Hashem, doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, he attaches all of the worlds together to Hashem. Dorei mala v'dorei mata, the highest places and the lowest places. And he brings about a peace among all the different worlds, bein kol ha'afochim, and even among all the opposites. Ki mekasher kulam yachad l'Hashem yisborach, because he attaches all of them together to Hashem. Shezeh b'chinas sholem, that's the real sholem. We'll hold it over here for now. Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into more explaining and showing clearly how we human beings are the essence of sholem, and what happened as a result of the Eitz Hadas, and then to tie this back to the holiday of Purim and clarify what went on with Haman and Mordechai and Esther, etc. We should be zochah to this sholem so that the tzaddikim amitim can reach everyone that they want to reach and bring about the Geula Shleima. B'mehera B'yameinu, amen to amen.